I want to start out with some thanks. Some of you know that our oldest son, Luke, had surgery this week, and he did well with that. A lot of people have been asking, so I want to thank you for your prayers and your support, and it kind of reminds us of how important it is to love and support each other. We felt that this week, and hope that we can offer that back in some ways as each of us sort of face whatever we face. It's also given us a chance to really think about Thanksgiving. We're thankful for several things, including good medical care, as many of us are, and thankful that we're part of a church that loves and supports us. And today I sort of want to get us kicked off into a week of Thanksgiving. And as we talk about how God has been good to us, enter into a spirit of celebration. And you know, there's a good chance that there's going to be a turkey somewhere in your future here in the week, next week or so. There's a good chance that people are going to gather, and there's a really good chance that somebody is going to eat so much that they pass out in a recliner somewhere. But those things may be a given, but Thanksgiving is not necessarily a given. That's not just the only formula for making Thanksgiving happen. It's something that we choose. It's something that we deliberately do. And something that we try to be intentional about as we think about how God is at work. And today I want to kick us off in that and really just lead us in a time of celebration. And then come back next week and we're going to tell stories of God's goodness and give thanks again. Both Sundays we're going to celebrate communion together, and everyone is welcome at that as we just really join in an attitude of celebration. This is also Consecration Sunday. And we usually do this around Thanksgiving time as well. And it goes to the scripture that we heard from Proverbs 3, or the Old Testament practice of bringing the first fruits, the first and the best of the harvest, to God. And it's a way of staying in touch with God's care and provision, and also looking forward in trust that God will be there and take care of us in the future. So Consecration Sunday, for those of us who call Broadway home, is our chance to do the same thing, to reflect on how God has been faithful to us in the past, and then to look forward in the future and affirm that God is going to be there as well, and to participate in the ministry of the church and be ready for that. So if you call Broadway home, then you should have gotten a letter in the mail this week with a card in it. If not, there should be some in the pews, or the seats in front of you. And those are a commitment card for our giving in the year ahead. It's our way of living into that first fruits offering. And later in the service, when we come for communion, you'll be invited to bring those forward to each of the stations. There's a basket, and you can place that in the basket as an act of worship, as an act of thanksgiving that we get to be part of what God is doing. And ahead of that, I want to be just real intentional about saying thank you for the spiritual process that it takes, that Jenny and I also engage in, where we pray and seek God's will and then trust that God's going to provide. And giving is just unique in its ability to help us stay in touch with that trust that God's going to take care of us. The rest of our time today, I really just want to lead us in celebration. To think about whatever you have faced in the week past, and whatever we might face in the week ahead, the discipline of celebration is this powerful spiritual pathway. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." The implication is that celebration, joy, those are possible regardless of what else is going on. It's not dependent on circumstances. And as we kick off Thanksgiving week this week, we have much to celebrate. Some of it is God's provision for us and care and a lot of good things, and some of it is God's guidance and care through some tough things. All week this week, I've been thinking of a little clip from the TV show Friends that uses the song from Kool & the Gang, "Celebrate Good Times, Come On." I thought about that and sort of like how we look for ways of celebrating together. In this clip, Ross is looking for a way to celebrate his sister Monica's wedding to his best friend Chandler, and decides to do a rendition of that song by Kool & the Gang, "Celebrate Good Times, Come On," and finds a unique way to do that. So let's watch together.
Okay, now remember, I'm still learning. One, two, three, four. song. Sing along. So?
No.
That is one of the only clips, if you notice, that they actually could not make it through without somebody losing it, and Rachel is trying to hold it together in that clip. So there are lots of ways to celebrate. What we find as we reflect on God's goodness to us is that causes us to celebrate in some unique ways. For Christians, celebration is always somehow tied to the hope of the resurrection. That God can bring life out of death, and that God is working to bring life into and out of every single situation, without exception, every single time, every single person. Our celebration is almost this revolutionary act. It's a choice that we make to see where God is at work and to point it out and recognize it and to trust in faith that it's happening even when we can't see it. So in this series, we've been talking about how we grow in our trust in God, and I think celebration is really about that. The question, can God be trusted? Do we trust God? And the answer that we give is not sort of the intellectual thing that we say, yes, we believe that God can be trusted. It's the direction our life goes, and our life tends to go in one of two directions. We tend to be people who are caught up in anxiety and worry and fear and discontent, and we kind of believe that story by how we live. Or we go down the path of trust and noticing where God is at work and reliance on God that inevitably leads to joy and celebration. Discontent on one hand, celebration on the other. And today we want to be intentional about choosing the way of trust, the way that leads to celebration, the way that causes us to celebrate and find joy in places that are often surprising, because our celebration is rooted in the promise of the resurrection. And so to say this, sometimes Christians celebrate in some weird ways. We don't celebrate or don't find joy in things that other people do, and we do find joy, we do celebrate things that other people don't. Does that make sense? Some of the things that we kind of expect to bring us happiness, we sort of intentionally say, no, that's not where life is found. And some of the things that other people would think would be crazy to find happiness and hope and joy, those are things that we actually hold up or celebrate. To those who celebrate stuff, consumerism, and greed, Jesus says, life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. To those who hold up narcissism and celebrate pride, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. To those who celebrate success and self-fulfillment, Jesus says, those who lose their lives are the ones who find them. And to those who celebrate self-gratification, Jesus says, it's better to give than to receive. The surprise of doing life with God is so many of the things that we expect to bring us joy just don't. The greater surprise, I think, is that so many of the things we don't expect to bring us joy do. Or the places where we least expect to find fulfillment and hope and happiness are the very places where God shows himself. So, again, as we prepare for Thanksgiving, this thing that doesn't just inevitably happen when we put that formula of turkey and dressing together, to help us be intentional about this discipline of gratitude and celebration so that we find our way to celebrate what God's doing and find joy in our lives, I want to hold up some things that we want to celebrate today. I want to invite you to this attitude and discipline of celebration. And to more than just think it today, we're going to do it through an act of worship here in just a little bit. To celebrate some things that might seem strange to people looking in from the outside. and see if that might just be where we find God at work. I'm going to offer us up three things that I would hope we might celebrate today and in the week ahead. The first is, as Christians, I think we celebrate giving up. Trusting God means that we give up control, that we are able to give up the need to be in control. Because we trust God, we're able to just sort of let that need go. The need to be in charge, the need to manipulate people and situations, the need to be in charge of outcomes. Giving up is really, I think, giving up the burden of having to try to hold all that together, to try to be in charge of the world and carry the burden that comes with it. If we trust God, all that becomes completely unnecessary. Trust means we don't have to worry, that ultimately there's not a need to worry. Trust means that we rest in God's care. Trust means that we recognize that we were never in charge in the first place. And so the whole sham of trying to be in control is just a false way of living. It doesn't work. It's not the way things are anyway. And so we can just give that up. And with that, we find that there's just this freedom. We celebrate giving up control because that's where we find our freedom. That's where we find the hope and the joy that God wants to give us. We don't have to be in charge because God is. God is in control. And that allows us to go about life with a lightness, with a calmness, with a peace that is only possible if you really believe that, if you are living out that trust no matter what comes, no matter what we face. Jesus talked about this, I think, as having sort of a childlike faith. He also said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's this lightness that comes when we celebrate the right things, when we celebrate giving up control. It freaks some of us out. Some of us are control people. Some of us, just naturally find ourselves in charge of things and like to be in control. I call it leadership. but I'm in recovery for that. So I'll confess that because of that, sometimes I feel burdens pretty heavily. I feel I sometimes take on your burdens. Sometimes I take on burdens that aren't mine from just our life together in the church. Sometimes I want to be in charge of how people act, and I want to be in charge of the outcomes, and I want everything to go perfectly, and that is a recipe for disaster. But Jesus describes another way, a way of just letting it all go and walking in trust. And with that, there's this ease where we don't worry and we don't carry those burdens. We let God carry those, or we rely on each other and carry our burdens together. He talks about it as a childlike faith. I saw some research this week about how often we smile, and I think this is maybe just an indicator of the joy that we're finding in Christ. And so let me give you those numbers. About a third of us as adults smile about 20 times a day. You kind of gauge, like, how many times are you smiling? This might be a little test for you this week. How many times do I smile? I don't know. 20 times a day. A few of us, about 14% of us, smile less than 5 times a day. Do you know somebody like that? If you don't, it might be you. Then the research shares how many times a day the average child smiles. Do you want to guess how many it is? It's not 20, not 5, 400 times a day. What does that tell us about having childlike faith? Trust means that we can celebrate God's ability to bring life even in a world of death and desolation. I think we do have a choice when we listen to the news, when we think about the challenges that we face, when the story around us is discontent. The choice to celebrate in the midst of that is a radical choice. It's an act of faith. It's a spiritual discipline that says, that may be so, but I've got an alleluia anyhow. And trust that God's at work. Trust means that we can accept this world as Jesus did. As the people in recovery language say, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Or as Hebrews says, Let us throw everything that hinders off and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And then it says this, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. How do crosses and joy come together? Well, in our story, they do. In the hope of the resurrection, in the hope of God's work in us, they do. And so Hebrews 12:3 finishes that thought. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Christians celebrate our loss of control. We take up our cross and we follow. And we call that freedom. We call that life. We call that the path of trust. So we celebrate giving up. The second thing we celebrate, I think, is giving away. That anytime we join with God in giving, of extending outside of ourselves, of making life not about me, when we give our lives away, we are most like God. Jesus said it is better to give than to receive. And just the simple ways that we live into that truth are things to celebrate. Anytime it happens, I think we should point to it and say, that's it. That's the thing we're talking about. As we're raising our kids, as we're living life in families, that's the thing to say, I'm proud of you. That's the thing to notice. Of all the things that we want to kind of get right as we live in families, I think this is one. So yesterday we had our Operation Christmas Child breakfast, and we had lots of folks here. We had some great pancake flippers and bacon cookers. So thank you guys. Let's thank some people who were part of yesterday. And I want to thank the families that were a part of that. And we said this yesterday. I want to thank Kids Zone for the way that they create these environments for families to come together. As we think about starting Advent, which is it's kind of crazy, to set that off in a particular way with young people having an experience and experiencing the joy of just giving something away to someone else. It was kind of cool to watch the things that people were putting in their boxes. The common occurrence of people trying to stuff more in a box than could be stuffed into a box. And it's like, you know, we need some duct tape or something to kind of hold it all together because those boxes were just bulging. A couple people found a way to deflate a full-size soccer ball and put it in that box and then put an air pump in it so that when that kid in another part of the world opens it up, there's a soccer ball ready to go. Can you imagine the joy of that child and then all his or her friends because somebody thought, I'm going to stuff a soccer ball in a box and send it to someone else. And as we gathered around in these boxes, these are the boxes, we asked the kids to place their hands on it and pray for the children who would open those boxes and imagine the joy on their faces when they pop open that box. And as we did that, that was just a way of, this is it. This is what we do. We give. And it's better to give than to get. And getting is fine. But giving is a step toward what God is doing. It's a step in God's direction. And every time we do it, it's something to celebrate. I read a story of a man who was in a motorcycle accident. He was driving about 20 miles an hour, hit a deer, and was wearing a helmet, and was paralyzed. And after 7 years, was part of a trial where he was able to work for, they were working on him for like mechanical movement. And what was different about this trial is that instead of placing the sensors on the muscles, they placed the sensors in his brain. And this is the difference, because now the signals are coming from his intention, from his heart, from what he wanted. And coming out of his very brain. And I think celebration is very much a brain thing. So as you picture this environment, a sort of a clinical environment with guys with white lab coats, the goal was for him to be able to hit a target with a mechanical arm and hand just using his brain. It's amazing. And now eventually he was able to do it. About 12 out of 16 times he was able to do that. And there was celebration in that sort of scientific breakthrough. And then that celebration of something scientific became a celebration of something human. as one of those guys in the white coat walked up and stuck out his hand. And eventually the guy was able to take that mechanical arm and give him a high five, which of course just blew everybody away. And then that moment of human celebration became a deeper moment when the girlfriend walks up. And again, this is an arm made out of plastic and metal, but coming from the man's intention, he was able to reach out and touch the person that he loved. I think that points out that we are simply wired to do this. And anytime we do, we're taking steps toward what God is up to. And it's something to celebrate. And so today we celebrate, and in just a second we'll celebrate the giving of our commitments in the year ahead. That may seem weird to some people. From the outside, make it look like we care about money, and that we're focused on money. And that's just not how I think about it at all. It's certainly not been my experience. My experience is, as we have prayed and stretched and tried to be faithful, God has been more than faithful to us. And we've been a part of some great things. Jenny and I pray over our commitment card each year. To be honest, our commitment now is just looks at whatever raise I might expect in the year ahead. That I just do the math, 10% of that, and we write on the card this amount more than last year. There are lots of ways to do this. But if we're all in that journey of giving, I think God will always be at work. And there will always be something to celebrate. Not just the external things, the ministries that will happen in 2018 because we've made commitments, but the heart change, the head change, when we're able to reach out. And so it's something to celebrate. The final thing that we'll celebrate, I think, is not just giving up, not just giving things away, but giving thanks. We celebrate through a heart of gratitude. And as we come together this week and as we come back to church next Sunday, I hope this is your experience, that you're able to get in touch with God's care in the past and then stay in touch with what God is doing in the present so that you can trust God going into the future. And I have to confess, when I was, kind of growing up and as we told the story of Thanksgiving, I kind of thought it was only the past part, right? You do the little construction pilgrims and Native Americans and make them out of construction paper and little decorations, or they teach us about the history of the first Thanksgiving. But I'm learning that Thanksgiving is not just about the past. It's about the past, but it's also very much about the present, recognizing that God is at work now and the possibility of that. It's also about the future. Thanksgiving teaches us to trust God moving forward. Thanksgiving is an action. It's a mindset. It's a choice. It's something we do. And we believe in a strange way that it's always possible. About 10 years ago, it was actually 2007, right before I came to Broadway, I went on a trip to Europe and we got to tour Auschwitz concentration camp for a day. And anybody who's done that or been to the Holocaust museums, kind of know the emotional toil of that as you go through rooms of babies' shoes. And you go through rooms of people's clothing or suitcases just to be in the place where that atrocity happened and millions and millions and millions of people died. It's just overwhelming. And I remember distinctly just needing to kind of go off by myself. And I was in Auschwitz-Birkenau, the old work camp there at the site. I looked out of the window. And a group of Jewish folks had gathered, and it was clear they were Jewish because they were probably Orthodox because of the way they were dressed, and they were flying a Star of David flag, and they were singing, playing music, and dancing on the very spot where death and destruction had tried to wipe them from the face of the planet. With God, we believe celebration is always possible. Sometimes it's easy. Celebrate good times, come on. Sometimes it's hard, but we believe celebration is always possible. So with that, let me invite you into an attitude of celebration today. I want you to grab that card that we invited you to fill out. And of course, if you're a guest today, I hope you will just come to communion here in just a minute anyway, as our way of celebrating the power of God in Jesus, in the bread and in the cup, the story of Jesus that we celebrate every time we come to the table, the story of being invited into God's redemption every time we take the bread and drink the cup. So as those who are coming to serve communion come forward, let me invite you to take that card in your hand and to consecrate yourself and your gifts as the first fruit, the first and best of what is coming and being ready for the year ahead. These are financial commitments for 2018, which makes me think about the year ahead. And here's what I know. We have no idea what's coming, do we? We have no idea what 2018 will hold for any of us, the good and the bad and everything in between. But here's what we do know. God will be there. And he will be enough. So in that act of trust, we prepare to bring our lives and our gifts, to bring ourselves to God, sort of as a first fruit offering, which, by the way, the New Testament says is now us. We're the first fruits of what God is ultimately doing in the world. We're going to come in that possibility and in that hope as we come to communion today. So let me remind you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he said, "Take, drink. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink it, remember me." And so we do. And we offer ourselves in response to God's offering to us as a living sacrifice, as our communion liturgy, our traditional liturgy says, holy and pleasing to God, which makes me think that God is happy when we do, that God celebrates when we offer ourselves to him in any way, and holy meaning that we're set apart, part of what God is intending to do in the world through us. Well, with that expectation, let's pray together. God, we bring with us today an offering of ourselves, a piece of our substance, a piece of our the provision that you've given us, symbolized in a financial commitment, symbolized in the offering of what you have placed in our hands and given us to steward. With it, we remember that you have been faithful to us in lots of ways that we don't always recognize. We want to stay in touch with that, and we give you thanks for it. With our offering, and as we come, we also recognize that we trust you in the present, that you're here with us now, and that creates almost endless possibility. We also gather up our trust for the future. Not knowing what will come, we want to be ready so that we might trust moving forward. And that trust might lead us to great joy and fulfillment and peace, and might lead us to be part of what you're doing in the world so that our lives might be more full and that we might come more fully alive in you. Would you meet us here, we pray, as we offer ourselves. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.